Good morning. It's the 23rd of October. Our New Testament reading today brings us to John chapter 19, in which we read of the terrible events of the crucifixion. I'm going to read a passage which I know I've read to you before from Brother Melva Purkis. I read, "Early Christians refused to look at representations of Christ on the cross because they had seen men crucified. Our heart fails and our pen falters as we force ourselves to look at the events of the next 6 hours. It is a sight too terrible to gaze upon for long, yet to refuse to look at him steadily for a few moments before we wait for the first day of the week is to deny ourselves the consolation of his love. We cannot linger in the shadow of the cross, but we must approach. Lift our reluctant eyes steadfastly to his, and pass on our way with bleeding but strengthened hearts, determined that for us that sacrifice shall not be in vain." They had taken off the blood-soaked robe of purple. His own familiar garments were clinging to his raw flesh as they led him out, bowed under his cross. Two criminals had joined him, groaning under the weight of their grim burdens. It was about 10 in the morning, and the whole city was astir. Roman soldiers in glittering armour forced a way through the milling crowds. They led him through the city gate towards Golgotha. He staggered under his load. Exhausted by lack of food and sleep, and by the agony of the heavy wood on his butchered flesh, he sank to the ground. The soldiers untied the cords that bound the cross to his back. Simon of Cyrene had probably never heard of Jesus of Nazareth, but he never forgot that laboured walk to Calvary. There is every reason to believe that he continued to bear that cross for the rest of his life, and that his two sons also became Christians. There was pity as well as hatred. A great company, mostly women, wailed and lamented. Their cries reached him above the agony of his body. His own suffering was forgotten in his anticipation of theirs. "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." The awful moment came when the procession halted and the crosses were lowered to the ground. The searing pain of nails in hands and feet, the jolt as the uprights fell into the appointed holes, the torture of overcharged veins taking the weight of the sagging body, the excruciating anguish of every movement, the thirst growing more intolerable every minute. Above him they nailed a board with the triple-tongued inscription, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The chief priests were not yet content. They must lift the cup of triumph again and again to their cruel lips. They must gloat and rave and taunt. "He saved others," they cried. "Let him save himself. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Wave after wave of sin and hatred flowed up to him on the cross. His love fought its last battle and prevailed. Hanging on the cross, he vindicated his promise to his disciples. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." His love poured forth to meet this hate. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The two malefactors cursed and railed on him. It was the terrible language of fear and pain. As the hours passed, one thief grew silent and watched him. Perhaps a distant memory was stirred, and in his conversation with and about the Lord Jesus, he saw that the Lord of life, the King, would come to his kingdom. And he heard the words, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." Thank you.